I know what it was I wanted to say. The union, since the oil refineries are shutting down, it would mean that this union hall would shut down. If they don't have a job at the factory, at the refinery, they're not going to keep the union hall. And here it is, our last Sunday, and we hear that, probably very shortly, this would be shutting down. So it seems the Lord allowed us this open door here for just the right length of time. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4, and I'll read the whole chapter. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and chapter 4 begins, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Jehovah of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Jehovah of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Jehovah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And that's the end of chapter 4. Going back to verse 1 of Malachi, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." And we were looking at this before, and when we got into Revelation chapter 16, and we saw that God, during the 5 months of judgment, speaks of it as a time of an intense heat from the sun. It says in Revelation 16 and verses 8 and 9, "And the fourth messenger poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." Now the word scorched that's found here twice is only found elsewhere in the parable of the sower, once in Matthew 13 and once in Mark chapter 4. And in that parable, the sower, who is God, Christ himself, sows seed, and we read of seed falling on various grounds. Seed that falls on stony ground, it has no way to take deep root. There's no depth of ground. And so it says when the sun rises, it scorches that plant because it has no depth of earth. And it has no root in itself. And we saw that, of course, Christ is the root of Jesse. He is the root that must be in a child of God or in the professed child of God in order to withstand the afflictions, the persecutions, the tribulations that arise. And that's what the definition is in the parable of that scorching sun, when afflictions and tribulations arise for the word's sake. Now, at this time, spiritually, the sun is dark in all the world, but it's a time of a great heat from the sun in the sense of tribulation and affliction. When May 21 especially did not happen as we had thought it would happen, that initiated and began a time of scorching for those that had been following these things, to see it's a fiery trial to see if someone had Christ in their heart, if they had root in themselves. If they didn't have the root, then when this period of affliction began and has continued throughout the 5 months, they would end up falling away. They would end up not surviving. And this is the Malachi 4 is referring to what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Malachi 4:1 said, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven. This is the day. It's judgment day. It's not a literal 24-hour period. It's 5 months. And God can do that and does do that in the Bible. He speaks of the day of temptation in the wilderness, and it was 40 years. But he calls that 40-year period a day. And so judgment day began on May 21, continues 153 days in length, 5 months. October 21 is the last day of judgment day. It's all likened to one day, and it's the day that burns like an oven. And 1 Corinthians 3:13 speaks of every man's work shall be made manifest. That is, it's the cover is going to be taken off, and it's going to be revealed that an individual is a true man, like Nathaniel said, or like Jesus said of him, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, or someone that is not truly born again, not a true child of God. They do not have the Spirit of Christ. The day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Do you feel like you're going through a trial? Have you felt that way? Well, it's true. It's very accurate to think that about this situation, about these days. Actually, the whole Great Tribulation was also a trial period, a testing period. And this is continuing into the 5 months, and we're not through it. We're not through it yet. If someone is continuing faithfully following the truths of the Bible to this point, well, that's great evidence that in all likelihood you are gold, silver, precious stones, because the fire has been burning hotly, and it has been a scorcher. And if you're continuing to hang on when the world, after May 21, the believers became like a mockery. The churches believe that we're heretics. Our families may believe we're crazy. Our friends may have shunned us, and so on. And if you're still hanging on after even those that you were side by side with during the days leading up to May 21, and you were declaring these things to the world, and many of those people you were side by side with have also now turned. You know, we do live in a day, truthfully, where every brother will utterly supplant. And they also have turned and are pointing the finger, just like the church, just like the world, in many ways. And yet, if you're still there, and you haven't gone anywhere, you haven't left the truths of the Bible, you still believe what God says about the timeline of history. Why? Well, not because a man said it, but because it comes from the Bible. You believe it. You can see how it fits perfectly. You can see how it points to October 21 and this year. And you still hold to many other things. And even though you've been severely tested and tried, because certain things we were incorrect about, like the rapture happening on May 21 and worldwide physical earthquake occurring, and yet you know, well, okay, we didn't have those things perfect. We didn't know those things exactly right, but that we need God to show us all truth, but we have seen how everything else does fit and is coming from the Bible, and we trust the Bible. And so we're waiting on the Lord. That's the key, waiting on the Lord patiently, even though we have done the will of God, we're still waiting on Him to see how He's going to work all things out. And that's where the true believer will be found. And that is evidence. It's strong evidence at this point. It's very strong evidence that someone is a child of God. And you know, just for anyone who maybe has gone away from these things, as long, you know, if you haven't gone to the church, but you've kind of just backed away from these teachings from the Bible, it's not too late. It's not too late. That's not good evidence at all. But if you're troubled, if you're concerned, go to the Lord. It's like any other sin. And beseech Him that He would strengthen you, and you can still return. And that would perhaps be an evidence that God had done a work of salvation within you before May 21 came. Now, let me continue to read here in verse 13. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Either it's the work of Christ in saving us, or it's some work of our own to get ourselves saved. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And this will be the work of those who share the gospel with the world and with others, and they begin to believe. Some are true believers. They actually became saved, and others are not, and they'll be burned up. They will be destroyed in this fire. Now let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. This is a chapter that parallels Revelation 9 with the locusts and also with the 200 million horsemen that are completely identified with fire and brimstone in Revelation 9. Now it says in verse 1 of Joel 2, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Jehovah cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array." That is God's 200 million. Which He saved the last one, May 21, which began Judgment Day. That action of saving all those whose names were in the Lamb's Book of Life is the torment that comes on the rest of mankind because there is no more possibility to become saved. Everyone to be saved was saved, and that is also the spark or that kindles the fire that devours all of those unsaved individuals spiritually at first, as spiritual fire and brimstone is falling at this point, but then finally, on the last day, literally, all of the unsaved people will be burned up. That's how this world ends. That's how God will destroy the universe and destroy the works therein of this world. It will be with fervent heat, and man will be burned up and cease to exist. Well, here it speaks of the horseman devouring the stubble, and if you remember in Malachi 4, verse 1, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." And that's what's currently going on. This is what God has been doing. Now, we see that God is likening this time to an intense heat from the sun. And Malachi 4:1 even says, "The day cometh." So the sun is rising. The day comes. If we go back to Genesis 19 and the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, this was pointed out by a caller on the Friday night study a couple of weeks ago, and it really is a good point. It says in Genesis 19, verse 22, God is speaking to Lot, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. God could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot made it to Zoar. Now, he's already left the city. His two daughters and his wife left with him. But God did not rain fire and brimstone as soon as they left the city. He said to Lot, "You must go to Zoar." And he could do nothing until Lot stepped foot into Zoar. Look at verse 23. "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of heaven." He would not rain down fire and brimstone until Lot entered into Zoar. Now, Lot, 2 Peter 2 tells us, was righteous. He had his righteous soul vexed from day to day. He's a picture of all of God's people who are righteous because of Christ's righteousness. And God is indicating, look, I can't bring judgment. Just like Abraham was interceding in the previous chapter, "Will you destroy the city of Sodom if there's 50 righteous, 40, 30? And God says, "Far be it from the Lord to destroy the righteous with the wicked." He'll not do that. He would not, in other words, have brought judgment day on May 21 unless every righteous person, all of his elect, had first made it safely into Zoar, we could say. Now, why Zoar? Well, Zoar is said to be a little city. And, in Ecclesiastes 9, we read about a little city. Verse 14, "There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, and yet no man remembered that same poor man. So there's a little city that a poor wise man delivers. Who would that poor wise man be? Jesus, who is wisdom himself. And it's a little city with few men. Well, many are called, few are chosen. It's a remnant of the world. That's all the elect are. We're a little city. And Christ delivers Zoar. And yet God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone until the moment Lot the righteous one entered in. Soon as he stepped across that boundary, then fire and brimstone began to fall. And so we can understand that it's not possible that God has yet to save people today. He would not have brought Judgment Day on May 21. You can't say, in other words, that this is Judgment Day and God's still saving. It does not go hand in hand. They do not go together at all. Either it's Judgment Day or it's not Judgment Day. It's only one or the other. And anybody who's saying that it is Judgment Day, but God will save right up until October 21, no, you got it all wrong. It can't be. And here God waited patiently, like the husband waiting for the early and latter rain and before he brings in the precious fruit. And once the latter rain fell, and it did, it completely fell. It's done. It finished on May 21. Then he gathered the fruit. He got all of his elect safely delivered and typified here by entering into Zoar. Well, now here's the thing that the person pointed out. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. That sun. Now we know immediately after the tribulation the sun was darkened, the moon's not giving its light, and the stars fell. So it's not talking about the light of the gospel, but the scorching sun of Revelation 16. The sun that burns spiritually, that burns away the dross, that is burning like an oven. That sun rose the same time that Lot entered into Zoar. Then look at verse 25 of Genesis 19. Excuse me. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So the fire and brimstone was a judgment on the fruit, on the plants of Sodom. And we know in Deuteronomy 29, God says you cannot sow ground that has been desolated by fire and brimstone. And that's why we're not sowing the gospel today, because spiritually it's recognition that it's Judgment Day, that God is raining fire and brimstone all over the earth. Now, the other thing is that just wanted to mention, you know, in the New Testament, where I think Jesus makes the statement that it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than it will be for this city in the day of judgment. Keep in mind, it does not mention people. It says the land of Sodom in Matthew 10 and Matthew 11. And it contrasts it with a city, which also is not mentioning people. And so the idea that some have that the people of Sodom be more tolerable for the people of Sodom, God isn't saying that. He's saying the land of Sodom, because that land was rained on with fire and brimstone, yet that was a long time ago. And that land could be cultivated again at some point in centuries after, maybe. But fruit could grow on that land once again. But spiritually, in the day of judgment, no, you cannot ever grow anything on the ground of all the earth at this time, because it is an eternal, final judgment that spiritually no fruit will ever grow again. That is, no one will ever become saved. Well, look at verse 26 of Genesis 19. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It never made sense as to its placement before. It never made sense because they fled Sodom and Gomorrah, and then they entered into Zoar, then fire and brimstone fell, and we always thought that's the end of the world. That's the end of the world. And here Lot's wife, such a dutiful wife, such almost, we would say, faithful, and maybe she was a faithful wife. She followed her husband out of Sodom with her two daughters. She had other family back there. She had other concerns back there, but she obeyed, probably. She followed along with her husband and left Sodom. And not only that, she went to Zoar. She went to Zoar. And God's not interested in her or her two daughters, by the way. It was Lot, the righteous one, that he was concerned about as the one entering into Zoar, because he typified the elect. But the two daughters went into Zoar with Lot, and his wife went into Zoar. And it just never made sense. And I always used to wonder, I wonder if God's just placing verse 26 where the wife looks back, just not chronologically. And that's how we've understood it before. He just wasn't telling us the history chronologically, but he is giving us a chronological history. And now it makes perfect sense because, now look at this spiritually. May 21 is Judgment Day, which is the day typified by Lot entering Zoar and fire and brimstone falling immediately. And Lot goes into Zoar, that little city, with his wife and his two daughters, and it's from that point, after May 21, she looks back. She looks back to Sodom, to the world, to whatever it is. She's looking back, and we can see how this relates to many, many people. Many, many people begin questioning everything, and that's fine. That's fine to question and to examine the Bible, to recheck things. Were we correct? Restudy. But, see, this shook people to the core. And they began throwing out faithful things and thinking, oh, the whole calendar is off and so on. And unfortunately, they look back. And Lot's wife is an example of a historical example that is demonstrating what happened over these 5 months as individuals were severely tested when the sun was risen upon the earth, is what Genesis 19:23 tells us, that scorching to try men, the fiery trial to find out who is silver, gold, precious stone, who is wood, hay, stubble. And Lot's wife, of course, was not truly saved. And that's why she became a pillar of salt. God judged her, and salt relates to judgment in the Bible. All right, let's go back to Malachi. Chapter 4, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. That word burn is 1197. Excuse me. There's a second word burn that's a different Hebrew word. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. That's a different Hebrew word. That's 3857 in the Strong's Concordance. And that's why, you know, we need to check out words, because in our English, we would think they're the same word, but they're not. This is a word, burn, that's used 11 times in the Old Testament. And it has a related word, again in the Strong's, which would be 3858. It's like the next word. And that word has the same consonants and almost exactly the same vowel points, except 3858, I think, has a strong A sound, and 3857, the one here in Malachi, has a short A sound, but the consonants are the same and the rest of the vowel pointing is the same, and it, basically, it's the same word. 3857 and 3858, it's especially when we realize that the vowel pointing was added to the Old Testament. God didn't include it in the original. And we know that that's the same word. Now that word, 3858, is only found once. And that's in Genesis chapter 3. In regards to the tree of life. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 24 of Genesis 3. And Jehovah God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore Jehovah God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." The word flaming is that word burn from Malachi 4:1, except that's a different Strong's number. And here, this very unusual statement that God makes, that there's a tree of life and it's at the east of the Garden of Eden. Of course, we understand that's the direction of the kingdom of God. We've seen that again and again. We're not surprised it's at the east of the Garden of Eden. Cherubims, and that cherubims would be representative of God himself, and a flaming sword. Now, the sword would be the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And this one, though, is a flaming, it's a burning sword that turns every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I know people are tired of me mentioning the Ten Commandments movie, and but also there's the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, where he's on a quest to find the Lost Ark, and it's just a perilous way. There's all sorts of dangers that are guarding the Ark. Well, in a way, that comes right from this image that God is giving us of the tree of life and a flaming sword. Now, the idea of that flaming sword is it's going to kill you. It's going to burn you up if you try to go past it on your own or unadvisedly or unwisely. You are going to be killed. You're going to be slain in your quest to reach the tree of life. And, you know, that's been the case. That describes religious history of mankind, of all the world's religions. They're trying to get to the tree of life, and without fail, the Buddhists are burned up, and the Muslims are finally burned up, and the Hindus, and every other religion, because, notice it says to keep the way. And Jesus said, "I am the truth, the life, and the way." He's the way. And if, number one, if you don't have Christ, you can't get to the tree of life. There's no possibility. There's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. And that rules out every religion. But then you have all the Christian gospels and all the Christian religions. and they're trying another tact. Well, they realize these others can't get to the tree of life. However, if I use the Bible, or if I use Christian trappings, and if I use the name of Christ, certainly that will get me to the tree of life. Guess what? They get burned up too. And actually, that's exactly what happened very first day of Judgment Day. All those in the churches, in all Christendom, in all the churches of the world were bundled as a tare for the burning, and they were burned spiritually immediately on Judgment Day. And they did not make it to the way of the tree of life. It is a narrow way, the Bible tells us. It is through much tribulation that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a dangerous way. There is nothing easy about it to go into heaven, except the one who, you know, by God's grace and mercy, finally will make it through, realizes that the way in, the thing to do is to do nothing, that we can't get through it. It's a recognition of the impossibility of the task, and we can't get through the judgment of God. We can't pass this way that He has guarded with His flaming sword on our own merit or by our own works in any way possible. And it is only through the work of Christ that He has done to save His people. So the flaming sword, that burning sword, is guarding the way of the tree of life. Let's look at the tree of life in a couple of places. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 and 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So it's talking about wisdom. And then verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So wisdom is a tree of life. And Christ is wisdom, the Bible tells us, and therefore that identifies the tree of life itself as Jesus. He is the one that is the essence of life. He is eternal life. And that's what the tree of life is able to do. It's able to give eternal life. Take a look at Isaiah 65. And here God is speaking of the new heaven and new earth in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. And that former is this life, this world. You know, we won't remember it. Nothing. We'll not have memories of last year or our childhood or those people in our lives. And it's absolutely necessary it be forgotten. Absolutely necessary, because sin is interwoven into everything in this world. And we think we have innocent memories. Well, you think back to the ball game when you were little, you're just a little boy or girl, and you're at the Phillies game, and there's you're with Dad. What's bad about that? Well, it was a Sunday game. Isn't that the Sabbath day? And isn't that a violation of the Sabbath? But you don't think that when you're remembering just, you know, how nice it was to have a hot dog and a Coke before the prices jacked up. You don't think about that. Or when you're thinking about you just love your mother-in-law or you love your stepmom, and then you realize, whoa, Dad got divorced and remarried. Divorce is a violation of God's commandment that we're to be married. It's so interwoven into everything, it's just necessary that this life not be remembered. Now, how will we know that Christ is a great Savior? I don't know, but we will. And we're going to know it actually and truly. God will just implant that within us. We'll know that we've been redeemed, and we'll know He's extremely merciful and all the things that He has put on display in this world. But we will not have memories which would be tainted by sin. Verse 18, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. As the days of a tree, the tree of life, are the days of my people. And if you would be able to have eaten of the tree of life that God said in the garden, you would live forever. And there God is indicating that His people will live forever. As Christ, the tree of life is eternal, so they will be given eternal life. Now, it says in Revelation 2, Revelation 2 and verse 7, we also here read about that tree of life. In the last part of the verse, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And that would be heaven. Heaven, that's where Christ dwells, and that's where the tree of life is found. Go a little further in Revelation, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the tree of life is in the midst of the river, and on either side of the river. That sounds like three trees. Yet, it's singular, the tree of life. And we can understand that because it's demonstrating God is three persons, yet one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all the tree of life. You can't separate one from the other. God is God, and yet He is one God, and He Himself, in His very being, is life, and He is typified by the tree of life. Now, this tree bears fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, back in Ezekiel 47, in Ezekiel 47, we have not a commentary on Revelation, but Revelation actually is a commentary on this. Revelation 22 is taking the image from Ezekiel 47 of the water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne. Well, we find in verse 1 of Ezekiel 47, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water is issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And remember, that's what the tree of life, the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. And think of John 21, 153 fish, a great catch of fish. Excuse me. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eneglium, they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And that is the healing of sin-sick souls, the healing of, well, sin-sick bodies that we have, the cancer, all sorts of diseases and injuries, all the weaknesses of our body, the waters of God that flow forth from Christ himself are for the healing of all of his people, and it will be an everlasting healing. As it says back in Revelation 22, excuse me, in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Now, what does it mean, no more curse? Look at Revelation 21 and verse 3. I'll begin there. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And that's what God is about to do. This is what we're looking forward towards in a few days, the completion of God's salvation plan, and finally God's people entering into heaven in totality, all the elect dwelling with him forevermore, and partaking of the tree of life, to receive eternal life, the gift that it comes completely by his grace and completely as a result of what Christ has done for his people. Now just in closing, going back to Malachi 4, excuse me, it says, and again I'll read verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Jehovah of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." They won't have Christ, who's typified by the root. He's also typified by a branch in the Old Testament. They're not going to have Christ. And their root, which Isaiah 5:24 tells us about, just quickly look at that. Their root isn't going to help them. Therefore, Isaiah 5:24, "Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of Jehovah of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." So that root is of no help at all, nor the branch. And remember, Jesus is typified as the branch, but so are followers of Christ. In John 15:6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And again, we have to be in Christ. We need Him within us. We need true salvation. And God has to work that out. Man cannot get himself saved and never could, and now there's no possibility of salvation at all. Okay, going back to Malachi 4, verse 2, and it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness," that's S-U-N, "arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." And we saw before how a spiritual darkness on all the earth. But in one place there's light. In one place, which is within the great multitude that God has saved. As it says in Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Jehovah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." That's where the light is. It's arising within the hearts of those that previously were in darkness in their souls. But God saved them, and so the Son of Righteousness is arising with healing in His wings. As we saw, the tree is for the healing of the nations. The waters go forth, and wherever they go, brings life and healing. That's the nature of the gospel. That's what God has done. And just one last thing, where it says in Malachi 4:2, "Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." If we look at Amos 6 and verse 4. I'll start reading in verse 3. "Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall." Now, the only reason I read that is to show that lambs of the flock and calves of the stall are synonyms. They're synonyms, and we know that God, again and again, is referring to feeding sheep at this time. He's the good shepherd that leads His people, as we saw with Moses leading Israel through the Red Sea. He's leading us out of the sheepfold after He gathered the last one, the door of the sheepfold shut, and He's leading us to the promised land. And it says here, we can understand, we just have that image better in our minds. Ye shall go forth as lambs of the flock. And that's what God is doing now at this time. Okay, I'm going to stop here and we'll have a word of prayer. And then we'll be able to take one or two questions, because we weren't able to have that earlier. So take a couple of questions. And then we're going to try and get out of here before 1 o'clock, because the union will be having a meeting. And again, John's having lunch over his home. Directions are in the back table, where you can see Oliver or Brian, who I think know how to get there. They can help you. And let's stop here for a word.